So, good morning, everyone. This is President Ed Chavez. I would like to begin the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District meeting on this May 25th at 8 a.m. At this time, we'll go to the agenda and look at item number one, which is Pledge of Allegiance. So, Reuben, can you please tee that up for us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Tom, I just wanted to do a little audio check. Do you have any feedback on my phone?
Let me speak, and no, I'm not hearing any at this point.
Okay. Thank you. We'll go to item number two, a roll call of the board of directors. Vanessa, can you please conduct the roll, please?
Director Fellow?
Present.
Director Trevino?
Here.
Director Garcia?
Present.
Vice President Santana?
Here.
President Chavez?
Present. Thank you. We'll go to item number three, adopt of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve as presented?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda. All those in favor, can we get a roll call vote, Vanessa?
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. That passes on a 5-0 vote. We will go to item number four, public hearing regarding a proposed reauthorization of the water availability standby charge for fiscal year 2022 and 2023. So at this time, we'll open up the public hearing regarding the proposed reauthorization of the water availability standby charge for fiscal year 2022-2023. Mr. Love.
Yes, thanks, President Chavez. So this property tax standby charge has been in effect since the 1990s. It was originally implemented at $10 per parcel or per acre. It was about 15 years ago, it was reduced to $8. And a couple of years ago, the board did restore the standby charge to $10 per parcel per acre. The purpose of the standby charge is very specific. It is for water recycling and water conservation. And so we earmark all of the funds that we receive from the property tax standby charge to those purposes. This is an annual requirement in order to continue to collect or impose the standby charge. It brings in a little over $2 million a year to the district's revenue. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Evelyn and see if she has anything to add. And we also have, the engineering report that is required every year, for the board to consider when they adopt this or consider adoption of the standby charge is prepared by Wildan Financial Services. And we have Joanne Buglis, Joanne, if I mispronounced your last name, on to answer any questions if the directors have any. So, Evelyn?
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. So the standby charge is as...
Evelyn, your screen froze. So, directors, I'll try and fill in the best I can. Evelyn, are you back?
Yes.
Okay, we can hear you now.
Yeah. So the standby charge, as Tom mentioned, it has been, has been in place for so many years, and it's readopted every year by the board of directors. So on May 11th and on May 18th, the public hearing was advertised in three major newspapers: La Opinion, San Gabriel Valley Tribune, and Tsingtao. After the public hearing closes, the board will need to adopt an ordinance readopting or reauthorizing the standby charge for fiscal year 22-23. And that's all I have, Tom.
Okay. Thank you, Evelyn. So, directors, any questions? Or clarifying questions, we'll receive public comment, and then the directors can have a dialogue about this. I do want to say one last thing. Given the water supply situation, this crisis we're in right now, it's never been more important to have the ability, resources to enhance water recycling and water conservation. They're of paramount importance, and these resources that this standby charge revenue provides us really helps us do a lot on both those programs. So, President Chavez,
yes.
Seeing no comments from the directors or questions from the directors, I believe we can go ahead and open this up to public comment.
Yes. So at this time, we'll accept comments for this item. And Vanessa, do we have any public comments?
No, President Chavez, we have not received any written comments. However, any members of the public wishing to speak may raise their hand now. If you're dialing by phone, you may dial the *9 and *6 to unmute. And I do see Ms. Cynthia Sternquist has her hand up.
Okay, so welcome.
Good morning to all. I very much appreciate the opportunity to give public comment this morning. I am just very curious. It is really the first time, and I have been on City Council for 12 years, that I have heard about this charge in concept. I, you know, believe it's something so very similar to our lighting district fee that comes before us each year. I'm very curious as to what the outreach has been to the cities, especially in the time when the, you know, when water is so much in the forefront. I think it's extremely important that, you know, cities are informed so that we know what charges are that are being passed on to our constituents. I appreciate that it has been publicized in the newspaper, in three newspapers. Unfortunately, with how the redistricting was done, I don't believe that many of my own constituents take the time to look at publications in all three newspapers that are published by the upper district, because in the past, the outreach has been so poor. I would very much appreciate, such as we do with any charges that come before us, such as our waste haulers, that we would have a representative coming to our council meetings to inform our constituents firsthand what these rates are for and how long it's been, you know, available for the district to impose them. I just think it's extremely important for the upper district to be as transparent as possible and to have information come directly to our constituents would be extremely helpful. So that's pretty much it. I just encourage the directors to take a look at reopening their public meetings in person so that the public has the ability to come firsthand and address. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Vanessa, do we have anybody else that wish to make any comments?
This time, President Chavez, I do not see any hands raised.
Okay. So at this time, I'll go to the board. Does the board have any questions or comments at this time?
Yes, Mr. Chavez. This does come to the public every year, and we do talk about it, and the public seems to be informed about this, and the city council people I talk to also informed. But we only have one tool this year, and if you've been at the Metropolitan Water District meetings, this is the only tool we have, and it's messaging that we must tell the public that they must conserve 15% more. And the public has done a very good job. We've reduced consumption of water 24% in the past few years. And this is the good work on the messaging that Upper District has done, and certainly Patty Cortez's office. But this is the only tool we have, and we must do this. We are in the most dire situation in the history of California, as we heard yesterday at Met. And as you know, the State Water Board has been meeting, and these are crucial circumstances. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions from my colleagues?
Yes, I'd like to speak, please.
Go ahead, Vice President.
Thank you. First of all, a question for Director Fellow. Is it 15% they're requesting, or 20% from our residents for conservation?
They would like 20%, but I think Met's asking for 15% right now.
Okay, thank you. I wanted to speak to the $10 annual charge. This is the standby charge that is for two specific things: conservation, recycled water. And not only is recycled water going to eventually, when this goes through, eliminate our dependence on state water project water, but also conservation, as Director Fellow mentioned, is really critical right now. So this is a charge that is being put to the best possible solutions we can even think about for our current situation. And then secondly, regarding public outreach, and just to let anyone on this meeting who is here know, I am chair of the Admin and Finance Committee, and we've taken some really impressive steps to make sure that our water surcharges remain the same, do not increase, and steps to help to keep our costs to the consumer as low as possible. I'm very proud of what we've accomplished over the past 3.5 years since I have been on here. So welcome to anybody who wants to join into those committee meetings. And we have plenty of better information, more detailed information on how we are administrating those funds. So just wanted to put that out there. Thank you.
Can I also add what Director Santana just mentioned, is that we have been going out to each city council. We just did Arcadia, and they had on their agenda what type of water restrictions they should have. And they were very receptive, and they honored what we had to say, and they passed what we had to say. And so we've been around. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other additional comments? If not, seeing and hearing none, then we'll close the public hearing and continue with our regular meeting at this time. So thank you for your comments on the public hearing. We will go to item. So we'll officially close the public hearing. We'll go to item number. We'll go to item number six. So Tom, we don't need to do number five, right? Adjourn to regular meeting. Yeah. Okay. So that was number five. So number six is public comments. So anyone wishing?
Yeah. Can I? This is Susanna from Waldam Financial Services. Are you going to adopt the ordinance at this time for the
fiscal year? No.
Okay. Sorry about that.
that will be item number nine.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
So we just conducted the public hearing. We're continuing on the agenda. And on the agenda, on number nine, we'll be taking care of that.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. I'm sorry for interrupting.
It's okay. So item number six, public comment. Anyone wishing to discuss items should do so now. Vanessa, do we have any comments? Public comments?
No, President Chavez, we have not received any public comments. And I do not see any hands raised at this time.
Thank you. We'll go to item number seven, committee reports. We have one in our packet from the Administration and Finance Committee. Is there anything that needs to be added to that report?
Nothing more to add there.
Thank you. Then we'll receive and file that. We'll go to item number eight, consent calendar. We have one item there. I'll make the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the consent calendar, which lists one item, which is the minutes of our regular meeting. Vanessa, please call the roll.
Director Fellow?
Yes.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. That passes on a 5-0 vote. We'll go to item number 9. There's 3 action items that we need to take care of. So 9A is the adoption of ordinance number 21-1, imposing standby charges for the fiscal year commencing July 1st, 2022. There's a staff recommendation, and is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve this item. So was that Susanna Hernandez that spoke? Did you want to add anything to our discussion here?
No, I think you guys did perfectly.
Okay. So any other discussion amongst board members? Vanessa, can you please call the roll?
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. That passes on a 5-0 vote. We'll go to 9B, which is to approve the fiscal year 2022-23 budget and calendar year 2023 water rates and charges. There was not a quorum in a previous committee, but is there a motion to approve now?
So moved. Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the budget and calendar year. Any discussion? If not, Vanessa, please call the roll.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. That passes on a 5-0 vote. We'll go to 9C. This is a conservation communication update plan. And Tom, are you and Patty going to be discussing this?
Well, I'm going to turn it over directly to Patty. So go ahead, Patty.
There you go. Okay. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, President Chavez and fellow directors. This morning, what I would like to do is have our consultants 789 that are on Charlie Bell, and I believe Kimberly is on here also. But at the last Government Affairs and Community Outreach meeting, I did present with you an overview of the path that we were taking for our new patients messaging campaign for our district. And so what I want to highlight before I kick it over to Charlie is the fact that everything that we've been doing up to this point has been in-house. And what I'm really proud of is that we're able to leverage the money that we receive from Metropolitan to invest into a professional campaign, as we really put our messaging out into the community and take a very aggressive advertising approach in the San Gabriel Valley for the next couple of months. And I feel like we're coming together at a right time because of the water situation that we're currently in. This campaign will not only be utilized in our social media, in our print advertising, but more importantly, we're investing about $100,000 into billboards, transit shelters, and also some media advertising throughout the valley. So this is the first that Upper District has really focused on such an aggressive campaign. Everything that we're presenting today will be available to our producers and cities at no cost, so they can add their logos to it. We're more than happy to tweak any of the messaging that will be provided for bill inserts, and any future communications that we may need to do. We'll certainly be working with 789 to tweak that message and continue to stay on top of our water situation. So with that, I will go ahead and turn it over to Charlie. And I believe we do have a presentation, if we can bring that up as well.
Thank you.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for having me. One, I'm going to commend this this team here to being so efficient with these meetings. It's actually really kind of refreshing. So I'm going to try to be as efficient as possible as well. As Patty mentioned, we're 789. I have Kim on here, which is our project manager, and I'm the president and creative director. We're really excited about this. We've worked with a lot of different water agencies. And the thing that we were kind of most excited about was that we were trying to develop a little bit more of a connection with the Upper District brand, as well as develop some new type of messaging in order to reach people and have better, greater comprehension of the campaign. So if we could go ahead and move forward, I'm going to go ahead and talk about all of these ads in just a minute. But this is a message-driven ad. So it's not something where it's very elaborate, where people have to decipher. We want to make it as simple as possible. It uses three-tier messaging, as I kind of mentioned, connection, comprehension, and conservation, of course. We feature isolated images to reinforce that comprehension, and it's a flexible campaign, which means we can target and add different types of messaging and target different audiences and so forth very easily with simple messaging and that simple iconography. So the next slide here, you're going to see the first of the ads as an example. So here I'm going to try to break this apart for you, but you'll hear it see, obviously, thank you for making lemonade out of lemons, save water today for tomorrow's pick-me-up. And if you go to the next slide, this is going to kind of show you the connection that we're trying to create with the Upper District brand. So we're saying thank you. We're spelling the Y-O-U as you to give representation for Upper. Obviously, you have your logo representation and your call to action, your URL. A lot of these can change depending on the medium. We can put QR codes and so forth. But we really wanted to make sure that this was a standard in three locations. On the next part of the dissection of this ad, you're going to have that comprehension. So on the next slide here, we've got our messaging and that isolated image, as I mentioned. So all of the ads will carry this over consistently. And then most importantly, we're following it up with the conservation. Now you can see down at the bottom there, the Lorem Ipsum, that's just placeholder copy. This is allowing other agencies or the district here to modify copy to put more straightforward factual information if we need to. It probably won't be that small, depending on how large or how much content we need to showcase. But it isn't absolutely necessary, but we wanted to make sure that there was some real estate for that. So if we move on to the next one here, we're going to give you some examples of how we're trying to reach different types of audiences from families and youth and so forth. So thank you for keeping kids clean, saving water today for tomorrow's bath time. This is really featuring, obviously, the bar of soap. A lot of parents can relate to this. This is something that we really wanted to make sure was clean and simple. If we go to the next one. So this is obviously focused a little bit more on our gardens outside. Thank you for growing gorgeous gardens. Save water today for tomorrow's harvest. And the next one. And by the way, that last flower was a drought-tolerant flower, just so everybody's aware. This is a little bit more towards conservation. Still trying to keep it light and fun. Thank you for keeping lawn gnomes dry. Water your lawn less today for a greener tomorrow. And here we have, this was my favorite. I don't know how you guys wake up in the morning. This keeps me going most of the day. But thank you for making coffee possible. Save water today for tomorrow's cup. So we move on to the next one here. We've done some application with this particular.
Sorry.
Yes.
This is Charles Trevino. Mr. President, if I may ask a question. What is the that language down at the bottom of the of that? That's like a disclaimer or something? What is that?
Yeah, sorry. Maybe I didn't explain that enough. But the Lorem Ipsum, it's something in design terms. It's just filler copy. But what we've done is we're allowing that real estate there for us to add any other important information that the ad requires. So depending, if you're driving by on a billboard, you may not have a lot of room. So you can put something small or short and sweet there. But if this is converted into a print ad, this might showcase a little bit more detailed information about maybe new restrictions or rate charges or something along those lines. It's basically real estate for you to add in secondary copy that's related to conservation.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. And it probably won't be that size, as I mentioned. Depending on the amount of content, it can change. So here you're going to see some of the application to some of the elements for the ad campaign. Here we see the bus shelter. This would be done in English, Spanish, and Mandarin. We have a 22 by 10 roughly poster. This is just a mock-up of, we would be animating these ads when needed based on the digital ad campaign. So what's great about the structure and the construction of these particular ads is that we purposely made them in layers that allow us to create a lot of exciting movement. So the texture in the background can move, the isolated image can arrive into the video uniquely. The title treatment is bold, so that way we can animate that as well without it being difficult to read. So that's something you would see on the next, on the application of everything. And the next one here, obviously, as Patty mentioned, it would be a social media effort as well. The great thing about this is that they are very bold and colorful. And so we would be leading with strong messaging and a strong visual. And then that supporting copy can be tailored to however we want. So, which is great because we can get people's attention and then we can feed them a lot of information, obviously, with a lot of the new announcements about conservation, any type of rate charges, as I heard. There's a lot of great things that we could add to this to broaden your communications. And that's it, folks.
And the final thing that I will add is, so in addition to the advertising campaign that we are embarking on, Metropolitan will also be stepping up their advertising in our service area. Some of you may have remembered that when they first came out with their emergency water conservation plan, they were advocating the 1 day a week watering, and they had a graphic that got a lot of pickup in the media. That will not be shown in our service area. What we will be promoting is the 2 day a week with those specific lawn ads that Charlie went through. But I am working very closely with Metropolitan to ensure that the ads are consistent with one another. So what their campaign is doing is it's more of a how you can save water. So it's showing real life individuals saying, you know, I saved water by installing a water smart irrigation controller. So that's what you'll be seeing throughout from a Metropolitan standpoint. But I really feel that with the messaging that we've created here at Metropolitan, it'll be a very nice complement over the coming summer months. And that concludes our presentation. If there are any questions from the directors.
No questions. Mr. President, if I have a comment, if I may.
Yes, please.
That's just fantastic. I love how the final result came out. And I like, Patty, what you said about the complimenting the Metropolitan messaging. So great job.
Thank you.
I have a comment too. Nick,
go ahead.
I love it. I like the bright colors. I think it stands out, especially if you're looking at this while you're driving, if you're doing something else, it's definitely eye-catching. I appreciate that you address the drought-tolerant flower because that's exactly what I was thinking. Hopefully it's a native plant, but I really like it. I appreciate the thought that's gone into it and how to really like relate to people in their everyday struggles. Like the bath time thing, I get that completely. So I love it.
Great. Any further comments?
President Chavez, if I may add to this. So,
yes, go ahead.
This is just the latest iteration as we adapt our messaging to the circumstances facing us. We've been doing this messaging for a long, long time. And if you recall, we had to adapt significantly during COVID. We couldn't have our in-person landscape classes, so we moved those online, which actually allowed us to reach a lot more people. And so as we continually adapt, and we continually improve this messaging and make sure that it is meeting the circumstances that we're facing. So the other thing I want to mention in terms of leveraging funds, so we certainly use the standby charge revenue for this, but Metropolitan's member agency funds are also used to support this outreach. Metropolitan did change their policy on use of those funds within the last year to allow it to be used for outreach and education. So that's very beneficial. So we leverage those funds, I think, in a very efficient manner to our communities.
Okay. With that, and we should have been dispensed with item number 9C. So we'll go to item number 10, informational items. There's press releases and newspaper articles that are available. We'll go to item number 11 at this time. Attorney's report, Mr. O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to take just a few minutes to update the board on some developments on a longstanding piece of litigation concerning the Metropolitan Water District. In the past, I've intermittently reported on this case. It's the challenge by the San Diego County Water Authority against Metropolitan. And I thought this would be an appropriate time to do it because a trial commenced last Monday on May 16th. The nature of the case is that San Diego is suing Metropolitan for a breach of a contract that was entered into between the parties in 2003. And if you can indulge me, I want to take about 5 to 10 minutes to review the case and where it is status-wise. The case arose out of San Diego's efforts several years ago in the early 2000s prior to that, to get a little more water independence from Metropolitan. And what San Diego did was they struck a deal with another agency, the Imperial Irrigation District, to move water through Metropolitan's system. Metropolitan was the owner of its conveyance system and had the plumbing essentially to deliver water down to San Diego service area. That was accomplished through a contract that was called an exchange agreement in 2003. San Diego, after that agreement was executed, they sued Metropolitan, challenging the rate structure and also claiming that Metropolitan breached that 2003 exchange agreement. And it becomes the nature of the contract is important in that at that time when they entered into this agreement, there was a set of statutes that the legislature had passed called the Wheeling Statutes. And those statutes were designed to facilitate the transfer of water statewide. And one of the requirements of those statutes when a Wheeling agreement was entered into between two parties, a conveying party and the owner of the conveyance facility, that's called a Wheeling agreement, where the owner of the conveyance facility, if it had available capacity in its pipeline, it had to convey water that wanted to be wheeled by the conveying party. And one of the concepts in that statutory scheme was that the owner of the conveyance facility had to charge fair compensation to the party who wanted to wheel the water. And the definition of fair compensation included this concept of offsetting benefits, meaning that if the owner of the conveyance facility enjoyed some benefit through the transfer of water through its pipelines, then that benefit should be recognized and awarded to the party who's actually wheeling the water. And the best way to think about this is if Upper District owned a big pipeline and it had a hydroelectric facility, and we generally would get X number of molecules through that facility to generate X number of kilowatts. If someone wanted to put more water into the system and we were able to generate more electricity and make more money, we would have to give some benefit or recognize that benefit that that Upper District enjoyed. We'd have to award that to the party who's actually creating the offsetting benefit. So the whole nature of this case that's being tried right now concerns these offsetting benefits. The big issue is whether the agreement that was reached in 2003 between Metropolitan and Upper Districts was truly a wheeling agreement, or was it yet a different type of agreement, just an exchange agreement? Metropolitan's position has been, in my view, the correct view, that this is not a wheeling agreement, that it is an exchange agreement, and that the parties negotiated a price that San Diego had to pay to move the water. And the considerations that would have gone into a wheeling agreement were not even considered by the parties at the time of execution. However, San Diego is coming back and saying that Met should have done this back in 2003, and they didn't do that. So San Diego is seeking $340 million approximately from Metropolitan in this lawsuit that it claims constitutes the value of the offsetting benefits that Metropolitan failed to deliver. And one of the big issues in the case that was decided pre-trial was Metropolitan's argument that if San Diego is correct, and this is a wheeling agreement, San Diego doesn't get to determine the value of the offsetting benefits. The statute says that the owner of the conveyance facility makes that determination. And we were very kind of encouraged and heartened by that pretrial ruling. However, in the trial, the court is allowing in evidence, allowing San Diego to put into evidence what they think the value of the offsetting benefits is. Metropolitan is contending that that's irrelevant because Metropolitan should be deciding what that value is. So. In short, the trial is started the 16th. San Diego has just concluded its case, and Metropolitan is beginning its case right now. And there's a chance that the trial could wrap up this week, but it'll probably go into the middle of next week. And given the court's capacity, all this evidence will be entered into in the next, 7 to 10 days. And then the parties come back in August for final argument on August 27th. So the court will take this is a court trial. It's not a jury trial. So the court will take all this evidence under submission at the end of August. And we should have a ruling sometime, I'd expect, in September. So as you can tell from this explanation, it's a complicated case. It's been going on for a long time. There has been a prior trial in this matter because San Diego has sued every 2 years because that's when Met has adopted its rates. And so we expect to have a ruling sometime in early September. Again, San Diego is claiming it's the value of this case is I believe it's $344 million that they're contending that they're entitled to. So as this progresses and as we move into the next phase of the case, I expect I'll be back probably in August to update the board on where this is because it's going to affect all Metropolitan member agencies. It's a big, big financial number. And San Diego has already recovered a lot of money from Metropolitan in this case, but on a different theory. But this offsetting benefits case is a very significant matter. So I'll continue to keep the board apprised. That concludes my attorney's report.
Thank you. Any questions for our attorney?
I just want to say thank you, Steve, for that excellent report.
Yeah, it's a thicket.
it's very sad. It will continue after this. We're hoping to get this out of the way and have peace, but it will not happen with San Diego.
Yeah, as you know, Director Fellow, there had been settlement talks, but San Diego just didn't respond to Met's last efforts. I think they think they'll have more luck in court than across the table settling the case.
Thank you very much.
Mr. President, this is Steve Glass. Yes, go ahead. Question?
Sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Johnson.
Okay. Hi, Steve. Just a quick question. The concept of wheeling, we know it goes back a ways when this all come up, and it really is a huge concept. It's used a lot. Metropolitan's the big guy, but it applies everywhere. the ability to use facilities to move water. And it's very, very important to be able to move water in California. My recollection was Metropolitan's wheeling rate was around $300 or something like that. It was very, very high. Do you know the difference? Do you know the difference that what San Diego believes that charge should be? I know they're suing for big money otherwise, but the rate itself, do you know the difference between Metropolitan's wheeling rate and what San Diego is suggesting it should be?
But it's really, I think the charge back in 2003 was about, I want to say 253 for some reason, but that's not the essence of the case. What the case is about, Steve, is that San Diego was saying after the fact, they're saying, oh, this was what we did. And let me step back. You know, they sued in 2010 and 2012 and it didn't raise this issue. And in those cases, they lost their argument on appeal about Metropolitan can charge for state water project costs. That was worth 126 or 160 million. I forget the number. Okay. So after that, in their next iteration of the lawsuit, they claimed, oh, back in 2003, we should have gotten credits for offsetting benefits. Okay. That's the first time they raised it. Okay. And the issue is in the exchange agreement, it was a heavily negotiated agreement between two very sophisticated parties, and no one raised the offsetting benefits issue. And so San Diego is now coming back and saying, well, the contract said Met was supposed to have all charges a lawful rate, and that should have included offsetting benefits. However, the indicia of a wheeling agreement were never discussed. If you're going to have a wheeling agreement, you have to identify additional capacity. That was never discussed. If you're going to have a wheeling agreement, you're wheeling the party who owns the conveyance facilities is conveying someone else's molecules. Right. This was essentially Metropolitan Water that was going through the system. So it's very clear it was not a wheeling agreement. Unfortunately, the 2017 Court of Appeal decision is wishy-washy on this. It says it's really not a wheeling agreement, but it kind of looks like one. So it didn't really understand the issue, and that's one of the challenges for Met's counsel right now is to educate this trial court on this issue. And it's very interesting, and the evidence has already come in that a week before the 2003 exchange agreement was executed, San Diego executed a true wheeling agreement with Fallbrook and Met, where all the wheeling statutes were considered. And then a week later, they did a different agreement. And now, 15 years later, they're claiming that was a wheeling agreement when it really wasn't.
Okay. So, thank you.
Sorry, I get a little bit in the weeds here. But
No. That helps a lot, Steve. So it really is trying to recover some past cost. It's not arguing the rate. It's good.
Yeah, it's not really a rate. Yeah, it's not a rate issue at this point.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we'll go to item number 12, engineer's report. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Pretty short report. As you know, there's not a lot going on water-wise. Just an update on deliveries of water to the basin this year. And we've reported in the past, typically we get on a normal year, we get somewhere between 100 and 115, 20,000 acre feet of local water into our basin, not counting the imported water that we bring in. So far this year, from the 1st of July last year through April 30th, which we're getting through the year now, folks, so we're almost a year in, total water conserved is a little less than 40,000 acre feet, and local water is only a little over 25,000 with 14,000 imported water. So as everybody knows, it's dry. It is. We've had a very dry year, and availability of water, both locally and on the state, has been pretty scarce. So we're in a tough situation. You will see, just for clarification, you will see to the board, you will see bills going out. You'll see or money coming in, I should say, payment from a lot more water than this, because Water Master did buy some water out of Cypress Storage. But that's not wet water. I'm reporting on wet water. So the amount of water delivered through that delivery of local water out of the canyon, you know, it ended on May 10th, and it was a little over 25,000 acre feet. As far as the basin is concerned, Cuba elevation as of May 20th was 186.1, still going up a bit. It's I don't want to say it's puzzling. It's interesting that it keeps rising after that delivery. As long as it has, it hasn't stable off. We expected it to taper off and level off. Possibly where some conservation is going on, it's possible that pumping is reduced, which will lessen the impact of pulling the mound down around the spreading grounds. Not sure, but we're looking at it right now to see when we think it'll level off and we'll get back to normal conditions and eliminate the mound. Historic low of 169.4 back in November 2018. We still think there's a good chance by the end of the late fall that we could hit that with a hot summer, and depending on our conservation efforts and any other programs that has been reported by your general manager, by Tom, the programs were small programs, but we're trying to develop programs to get water into the basin. Right now at the 186, we're 2 feet higher than we were last month. We're still 8 feet lower than we were a year ago. So this is where we're at. That water did help, and hopefully it'll carry us longer than we originally projected, but we will see. Inflow to San Gabriel, still coming in fairly low at 36 CFS. So we're seeing a little bit of inflow into San Gabriel. Not going to help us much as far as groundwater elevations, but having some inflow is good for our canyon. Really no imported water deliveries occurring over the last month. Rainfall, we've been reporting compared to long-term average through where we are right now in May. We're about 63% of long-term average at Puddingstone and about 82% of long-term average at downtown LA. Water quality, during April, 56 wells were sampled under the Title 22 program. That's the Water Master that does that through their administrative assessment. In March, 23 wells sampled under the same program. We received no new notices of well shutdown due to new water quality issues. We've put up a graph up here, and I will jump in if Tom would like, but I would love to have Tom go ahead and present. It was Tom's idea. We've been trying to do this in the past, but Tom suggested we take a look at this, and it's up. We're going to the general manager next anyway, so unless there's any questions, I'll let Tom talk about the graph and be here to help with Tom.
Okay. With that, any questions from directors? If not, thank you, Mr. Johnson, and we'll move right into the general manager's report, item number 13, Mr. Love.
As Steve was saying, Stetson has prepared this for us to project the key well elevation throughout the remainder of the year with certain assumptions. And those assumptions are that production is around 190,000 acre feet, and the hydrology is similar to what we saw in the drought year of 2014. And this projection does show, this was done in March. This is about 20 days old or so. It does show that the key well will approach that historic low near the beginning of November of this year. At the rate it is projected to go down, the amount of water needed to keep it above that historic low is approximately 24,000 acre feet, about 12,000 acre feet a month is what would be needed. And so the conservation, the shifts where we can to treated Colorado River water, this water that was released to the San Gabriel spreading grounds over the last month is tremendously helpful. That's about 2 months worth of water based on these assumptions. And Steve, I want your help on explaining this. So although the key well and these red diamonds show the actual measurement compared with a blue line, which is the projected, and we're going to use this to monitor how we're performing. The key well is measured on a weekly basis, and this will give us the best indication, timely indication of how we're doing. But when a lot of water is put in the Santa Fe spreading grounds, it creates what's called a mounding effect that affects the key well. So if you imagine, you know, when you pour a lot of water really fast, there's a mound that forms. And then in the aquifer, it takes a period of time to flatten out. And so, you know, we cannot assume the key well at this elevation really represents that much more water because it hasn't stabilized yet. Steve, do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Tom. And I kind of mentioned a little bit before, but what, as Tom mentioned, we do get a mounding, and we are looking at right now, Tom pointed out the blue line is the projection. We made that projection before the water was put in the ground, and in anticipation of the water being put in the ground, but more of a generalized approach to where we would be rather than the actual month-to-month, day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month impacts of spreading that water. We're expecting, and we're looking at it right now. Tom had a call with Jenny just yesterday, and Jenny and I talked about it. We came up with a method to do it, to look at, see what our projection might be going forward from here, knowing what the up, we call it a recession curve. There's an upwards curve when we have a mound. There's a recession curve on that mound also. And we're looking at what that recession curve might look like. So if we're not guessing, we're using good information here, but if we're correct, where you see those three red dots, we will see a steeper downturn over the next month or two. Once we've stopped delivering water and things stabilize, it should go steeper and again head toward about the same location at the end there, near the historic flow elevation. So that's what we think is going to happen. We'll be tracking it and reporting it as we go.
So, and the reason I show this is, this is very important in how we manage the metropolitan volumetric limit path that we have selected to reduce our dependence on state project supplies and stay within that volumetric limit so we're not paying penalties for water. So the volumetric limit, it appeared originally that was, we would need to take about 2,100 acre feet a month beginning in June. And if we didn't take that water, it would possibly no longer be available to us. But I had a very good meeting with several of the staff from Metropolitan last week and confirmed with them that 14,600 acre feet of our volumetric limit, they will put in the queue to deliver to us in the fall. So we're not losing the water. So that, remember that 24,000 acre foot number, if we get the 14,600, now we're down to a little under 10,000 acre feet. And I believe that is possible with the shifts to Colorado River supplies and the conservation that we can manage through the end of the year, but that doesn't mean we're out of the woods. We continue our dialogue with the LA County about the quagga mussel control plan and to get their approval, and then with their support, our plan is to go to the Fish and Wildlife Service to get that approval. And so we've got a few months, but we're working on that really hard. Our next meeting with the county is tomorrow afternoon. I want to stop there. President Chavez, I have a couple of other announcements, but I wanted to stop here and see if the directors had any questions or comments.
Okay. Any questions? If done, go ahead and continue your report.
Okay. On brighter news, I want to recognize Priscilla Liu. Tomorrow celebrates her five-year anniversary with the district. Congratulations, Priscilla. We have a couple more next month, and I'll make sure the board's aware of those. Not those 5, 10, 15-year milestone dates. Reuben will celebrate 16 years, but he got his 15-year last year. And then lastly, this is really, I'm very happy to report this one. Tomorrow, the board secretary, Vanessa, is celebrating her birthday. So happy birthday, Vanessa. And that concludes my report.
Okay. Thank you for that. We will continue on the agenda and go to item number 14, director's comments. We'll start off with Dr. Fellow.
Thank you, Mr. President. First of all, I want to congratulate Priscilla. I think she's doing an outstanding job for the district and look forward to many more years. The Met yesterday all day, and so just some interesting news is with the MWD conservation efforts, some 325,645 feet of turf has been removed recently. And besides water conservation efforts, turf removal is the next best thing we can do to conserve water. We also learned that our general manager, Adele Hoskalil, and Chairwoman Gloria Gray did meet with the governor last week to talk about water issues. And the governor really he doesn't believe there's one size fits all approach to water, in the sense that he doesn't want to say one day of watering per week. He wants to leave these restrictions to the local water entities to determine that. But he is very disappointed that Californians have not really conserved. It seems like consumption has gone up in the past few months. And he says if he doesn't see water consumption levels going down, that he will take some action. And Tom, I believe the state water board is meeting or has this week. I thought it was yesterday, but it might be today. And they're going to be looking at a ban on watering non-functional turf at the commercial, industrial, and institutional locations. And then, again, the recommendations requiring local agencies to implement water use restrictions. And I also want to mention that and give thanks to the San Gabriel Valley Water Association, who at their breakfast last week had Miss Nancy Vogel, who's the water advisor to Governor Newsom. She was outstanding. And I'm putting together the Aqua August conference this year, and what we're going to be doing is I'm going to ask her to come back and talk about the future of water in California. I hope she'll be able to come back. And we also are going to have a panel. Patty doesn't know it yet, but we're trying to get people like Patty Cortez, Z Dink, and others, water agencies throughout Southern California who are doing very unique messaging to help people to communicate the message that we must conserve. And so this will be in August. It will be at Brookside Country Club in Pasadena, and you'll all be notified of that. But thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. We'll go to Director Garcia.
I just want to congratulate everybody on their anniversaries. I know working at a place for a long time is really rare nowadays, so I really appreciate you and all you do. Thank you.
Thank you. Director Trevino.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to reemphasize the fact that we need to do a better job of advising our cities about our standby charge and what it means for the cities that are in our service area. I know sometimes we wait for councils to invite us into a city or city manager to invite us, but I really think that we, especially when it comes to a standby charge that's being imposed, that we should aggressively pursue informing the cities of what that means and also letting them know that we're available to come and talk to their respective councils. I think that's important. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Vice President Santana.
Yes, I wanted to, I should have mentioned it during when we were talking about the advertising for Upper District's new advertisements, but I believe that we really utilized MWD funds for a huge portion of our revitalized ad campaign. We've always been pushing conservation message. This is just upping our game a bit, or quite a bit. So kudos to staff, Patty and staff, for all of that effort to get those funds to fund this advertising campaign. And working with cities, retailers, in order to get that unified message, we've been talking a lot about the need to message in a unified way within our service area, since this drought really started to become clear that it's going to impact our residents. And I think we've done a fantastic job so far. We need to always keep that in mind. I know we went to the city council in Duarte yesterday to do a presentation with Tom and Cal American Water. It was a great presentation. There were a couple of questions. We need to keep that in the forefront of our minds during this drought. And I think we will continue to do that. And I know the questions are going to come as we get further along in the months. Thank you.
Thank you. And I have no report with that. We will go to item number 15. Any future agenda items, you could bring that to my attention or general manager's love's attention. Item number 16. Is we have no closed session. And item 17, before we adjourn, Mr. Love, any other matters that we need to dispense with at this time? Tom?
Yeah, nothing further to add except to suggest the board adjourn in the memory of the victims of the Texas school shooting.
Absolutely. With that, have a good morning. Have a good day. Thank you for the presentations, and see you guys next time.
Thank
we
you.
Are officially adjourned.